Not so fast. WeWork is expected to delay its IPO after investor skepticism.
You know, investors have really been wary of these companies that are huge, but haven't found a way to make profits.
And an international panel is set to criticize the FAA's approval process for Boeing's 737 MAX.
A major finding of their review is that the FAA delegated too much authority to Boeing.
Plus, the U.S. tells Saudi Arabia that Iran was behind this weekend's oil attacks. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at why WeWork is expected to delay its IPO until October at the earliest, hint, it has to do with corporate governance. Here's what you missed. U.S. intelligence indicates that Iran was the staging ground for last weekend's attacks on Saudi Arabia's oil industry. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Both countries are weighing what to do with that information. At a briefing with reporters yesterday, President Trump said he wanted to avoid war with Iran.
Do I want war? I don't want war with anybody. I'm somebody that would like not to have war.
Here's a bit more about what U.S. intelligence found. Their report, which was shared with Saudi officials but hasn't been made public, included an assessment that Iran launched at least 20 drones and at least a dozen missiles at Saudi oil facilities on Saturday. However, Saudi Arabia said the U.S. officials didn't provide enough proof. The Saudi officials have asked the U.N. for help to figure out who's behind the attacks. And what about oil prices? From London, David Hadari has more.
So oil prices are slightly down today, but they still hang on to the vast majority of those historic gains we saw yesterday in the wake of those attacks. Now, investors are sort of starting to take a step back and take a look at the implications for this. Obviously, Saudi Arabia has a month's worth of reserves, but now the oil market is essentially asking, should those supplies run out? Who will fill that gap?
We'll, of course, give you the latest updates on the situation in our afternoon edition. And an international panel of safety regulators is finishing a report that's expected to criticize the FAA's approval process for Boeing's 737 MAX plane. That's according to people briefed on the conclusions of the report. From Chicago, Boeing's headquarters, here's Andrew Tangle with more.
This international panel of regulators has been combing through the process by which the FAA certified the 737 MAX. A major finding of their review is that the FAA delegated too much authority to Boeing to certify various aspects of the plane themselves without much detailed feedback or input from the FAA.
The FAA said it welcomed the scrutiny of these experts, and Boeing said, quote, it's determined to keep improving on safety in partnership with the global aerospace industry. So what does this mean for the MAX's return to the sky? Here's Andrew again.
Parallel to this review has been a lengthy review process by the FAA and other world regulators of Boeing's proposed redesign of the MAX's flight control system known as MCAS that was implicated in the two crashes. The regulators are asking very detailed questions, asking Boeing to perform a lot of tests they might not otherwise have performed. Basically, they all want to get it right. It's leading to a sliding timeline that has pushed the expected return to service back weeks and weeks and weeks to the point we're now in. It's been more than 6 months since the Ethiopian Airlines crash, and the plane is still grounded.
That report on the approval process for the MAX is set to be released in the next few weeks. We'll have the latest when it's out. Now, our main story this morning. The We Company, that's the parent company of WeWork, is expected to delay its public market debut until at least mid-October. J.R. Whalen has been finding out more from Maureen Farrell.
So, Maureen, the likely postponement of WeWork's IPO until possibly mid-October isn't a total surprise. The questions from investors primarily regarding valuation really would not subside.
There were a lot of questions over the corporate governance at the company, over the valuation, over just investors' confidence really in moving forward with an investment in this company and where it was going to be.
There were also lots of questions regarding CEO and co-founder Adam Neumann's financial transactions and financial relationship with the company, and an overall concern, as you pointed out, about corporate governance.
That did seem to be something that investors really had just been asking about, questioning. This is before the roadshow. I mean, companies are allowed to do these testing the waters meetings, so they can meet with investors before the formal roadshow begins. And as we've reported, it was set to begin this week, though it looks like for now they have postponed it.
And then IPO investors were spooked by something that wasn't even WeWork's fault, and that was the IPO of Smile Direct Club more or less falling flat on its opening day.
Yes, this company, Smile Direct Club, sort of a startup in the orthodontic space. And it was one of the bigger IPOs of the year. Investors seem really excited about it, so excited that the underwriters of the deal, which are the lead was JP Morgan, the same underwriter that WeWork was using as its lead, they had actually priced it above the initial range that they set out. Then it went out on the first day of trading and just fell. It fell more than 25%. Investors lost a lot of money on something that they thought was a really good bet, that they were told was a solid, exciting company that the market really stood behind, and it didn't. So they lost money on this deal, and WeWork, there are many more questions around.
Now, you've heard from people that the WeWork IPO could be delayed until mid-October, but there are plenty of skeptics out there who think the IPO should wait longer than that.
Yes. I mean, a lot of their existing investors, including SoftBank, we understand, had pushed them to delay it even further, to wait until 2020, figure out more things about the business, maybe figure out a better path to profitability. The company had been making a lot, had been growing its revenue, but it's also been growing its losses. So I think some investors just thought they would be better served by figuring out a lot of things before they went to the public markets, and maybe taking a year or so to before they actually launched a deal. WeWork, we understood until, you know, this week, had decided they were going to move forward with it regardless.
And WeWork is hopeful that the results from this quarter might get IPO investors excited again.
Yes, that's what we've heard. You know, should they decide to go later this year, there's some thoughts that, you know, if they show their third quarter numbers, they may be able to show sort of a better path to profitability, traction with some areas of the business. The quarter's not done, but I think that is part of the thinking.
And this IPO trouble that WeWork is having and Smile Direct Club, this is not really indicative of a weak IPO season. This has been a bonanza IPO season this year.
It has been a bonanza. I mean, it's on track to be one of the best years on record by dollars raised. The thing we have seen, though, is that some of the hottest IPOs like Uber and Lyft, that were just these huge companies that everyone had been waiting to see come to market, have come out and have really flopped. And I think it's, you know, investors have really been wary of these companies that are huge, but haven't found a way to make profits. And I think for so long, they were given the benefit of the doubt. And we've started to see the skepticism really come into the market and come into valuations. And they're being dialed way back.
In a statement, WeWork said, "The We Company is looking forward to our upcoming IPO, which we expect to be completed by the end of the year. We want to thank all of our employees, members, and partners for their ongoing commitment." We'll have the latest on all things We up on WSJ.com. On to markets. We're going to turn to Asia now, where AB InBev, the world's largest brewer, is planning to take a second shot at its efforts to list its Asian business in Hong Kong. It's hoping to raise up to $4.8 billion. That's significantly less than the sum it was looking to raise earlier this year. But if it's successful, it would be the biggest food or beverage offering ever. Steve Russolillo has more from Hong Kong.
So the biggest difference this time between the deal that the Asian unit of Anheuser-Busch InBev is trying to take public is really the size of the deal. It's about half the size. Back earlier in the summer, they were trying to do a $10 billion IPO, which would have been even bigger than Uber. It would have been the biggest of the year. And at that time in July, really the demand was just not there. Investors said that it was just too highly valued and it just wasn't worth it at that particular price. So you fast forward a few months to today and a couple of things have changed. The company has sold off one of its businesses, Japan's Asahi Group, for $11 billion. And so now this new deal is essentially a little bit of a smaller company that's focused on more of the faster growing parts of the businesses. So if you think of particular regions like China and other emerging markets, it's focused on more higher growth opportunities, but it is a much smaller deal relative to what the company was initially trying to get back in July.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. A new report out by the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace this morning says that China leads the world when it comes to facial recognition technology, but that other countries are also adopting the technology. Ryan Tracy has more from Washington.
The report looked at 175 countries, found that in at least 75 of them, there was evidence of government entities using surveillance technology enabled by artificial intelligence, agencies like airports and police departments and cities using it to monitor their citizens. And we should note that this technology can be used for good, like for preventing a terrorist attack. And these were, a diverse group of countries, including democracies and authoritarian governments.
And Israelis are heading to the polls again, the second time in 5 months. The election today comes after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu failed to form a governing coalition in April. This time around, Mr. Netanyahu has been capitalizing on his close relationship with President Trump. We report that highways all over Israel are plastered with billboards of photos of the two. The president is popular with Israeli Jews. A recent survey found 79% of them approved of his handling of Israel. We'll have the latest on the results as they come in. Finally, you might have heard Apple released its latest iPhones last week. The question, of course, now becomes, should you upgrade? Our columnist Joanna Stern says the latest model, it's the 11 and 11 Pro, is the phone that Apple should have made years ago. It finally addresses concerns about battery life. We've got a guide for those of you considering upgrading. Let us know your thoughts. Tweet us at WSJ Podcasts. We promise we'll read them no matter what phone you use to send the message. Disclosure, The Wall Street Journal has a commercial agreement to supply news through Apple News. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.